This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. We are joined by Louisiana's Attorney General Liz Murrell this morning. Liz, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, or it's afternoon, I guess.
Yeah,
good afternoon,
a little bit.
Thank you.
Same to you. I guess a little bit of a coincidence, a FEMA Flood Risk 2.0 case that the hearing is tomorrow in New Orleans. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. It was supposed to be today, but I believe they have bumped that hearing because of Tropical Storm Francine, probably going to be Hurricane Francine. But, you know, it just highlights how vulnerable we are to these insurance rates that were set by FEMA without accounting for their economic impact on anybody and their affordability. And frankly, FEMA argued at the first hearing that we had on this that affordability was simply not something they had to take into account. And I think that continues to be a problem. They don't want to tell us how they got the rates, and we're going to continue to press for that information.
So what's the big secret? It's not like they're in competition with anybody, right? I mean, usually that's considered proprietary.
But now they are. I mean, you know, they've created a system that is more aligned with the cost of private insurance, and that's simply contrary to what the whole program is supposed to be about. The National Flood Insurance Program was supposed to be a program that was allowed affordable rates to be accessible to people who couldn't get insurance on the private market. And what they've done is use, I think, calculators and algorithms that are used in the private market. And that's why they don't want to give them to us, because they signed non-disclosure agreements with private insurers to get their intellectual property and use it to build in to create their rates. And I don't think that's legal.
Well, certainly there's no level of transparency there. They're a public agency. They are not, I can't imagine that they're provided an exception. You know, in Louisiana law, you have exceptions for public entities that are in the competition business. I sat on the board of East Jeff Hospital for over 20 years, and we were provided a small exception, the ability to compete act. But then that's not the case here. I mean, I just don't understand why they believe they can do these things and just hide it from the public.
Well, and it's even worse than that for them. I think not only is there no exception for them, but Congress specifically said that they need to make the basis of these rates transparent to the public who has to pay for them. And they haven't done that. They have consistently refused to provide that information, not just to us, not just in the litigation, but to every single member of our congressional delegation and some other states' congressional members who have tried to get that information from them. So that is one of the things that prompted the lawsuit, was our need to basically have the courts intervene and tell FEMA, you have no legal basis to hide this information from the public. And to tell us how you baked this cake, basically. I mean, they continue to force us to pay these rates, in some cases forcing people out of their own homes because they can't afford them, but they are not permitted to not have the coverage. So it has extreme consequences for a lot of people who live along the coast, but also in our river areas.
Have they answered any questions about the business model? You know as well as I, if you're going a commercial insurance route, the algorithms provide for to be able to cover the incurred but not yet reported liability and then some, because they're looking to make a profit. I mean, are they willing to reveal any of this?
Well, you know, what they do is they talk in FEMA speak, which is bureaucratic language that goes in circles. And so they don't give us the real information that we need. You know, we need the calculator and the assumptions that were used to build it. And so it's not enough for them to say, here, go to our website and you can calculate your rates. I want to know what assumptions were built into the creation of that calculator. I want to know what the actual basis is for the rates and that they're imposing on us. We already know that they have jettisoned some things that were used historically in the past, like historical flood rates. They are now using projections of future risk of flooding instead of past actual flooding. So that has an enormous impact on the way these rates are calculated. But where do you make your assumptions? How are you making the assumptions on what our future risk is?
So when we talk about levee improvement, hurricane protection improvement, coastal restoration, as you well know, you're intricately involved in all of those situations that allegedly are improving the situation. What you're saying is that we don't really know for sure whether or not they're even accounting for all of this.
Well, we actually know that they are not accounting for a lot of this. I think, you know, if you talk to Gordy Dove and his experience in Tierbone, he can give you a pretty detailed list of places that they've invested enormous amounts of taxpayer dollars in flood protection, and it has worked. So there are areas that used to flood that don't flood anymore, and they're not taken into account in FEMA's calculations. Instead, it's kind of a one-size-fits-all. They claim that the average ratepayer in the NFIP program is only seeing a $50 increase, and yet we've shown that there's a 1,000% increase in a lot of people's rates.
So how do we get off dead center? I mean, I understand we're in court. Is thus far, has the court been receptive to the arguments made?
Not initially, no. I mean, we were denied a preliminary injunction, I think incorrectly so, but, you know, that's just part of this is, you know, dealing with judgments, rulings by a court. I mean, once you file a lawsuit, you're subject to the rulings by the judge, and sometimes we just don't have a great choice. Some of the parishes that originally joined us, we had a large number of parishes that joined us in the lawsuit, and the judge kicked them out of the lawsuit. I don't think that was correct, but we just had to make a judgment call about whether to delay continuing the case in an attempt to appeal that particular part of the ruling when we did have some critical parishes still in the lawsuit. We just have to keep going, and we also have to bring in every other possible advocate for our state and for our people. Our congressional delegation is fighting for us. I know the governor will be fighting for us, and I think we've got to continue to educate other members of Congress that this does affect them and it affects their communities too.
What about, Liz, other areas of the country that are having excessive rain amounts? They're tapping into flood insurance. Obviously, the algorithms for those areas of the country would be markedly different than ours. Did they take the same approach up there? They just copied what the commercial insurance companies did, and they're not willing to share those algorithms either?
Yes, and I think that, you know, what's probably the biggest surprise is going to come for people who were not previously in special flood zones, but now they are, and they just didn't realize. They may not realize until they try to sell their house. If they have a mortgage, then the mortgage company may get in touch with them and say, you need flood insurance, where they never had to have it before. You know, there is a lot more of an impact in states that have exposure to river flooding. And I think that a lot of people just don't realize that because it's now based on what FEMA considers to be their future risk of flooding, not what's happened actually in the past. And it doesn't necessarily take into account a lot of state investments in flood protection. So, you know, I think some people are going to be caught off guard that they are much more dramatically affected by this than they may think they are now.
Yeah.
Across the country, you know.
Any further thoughts on this case?
No, I mean, we'll just keep fighting. I mean, we nobody knows better than Louisiana that we're exposed to hurricanes, and you know, we also get other flooding. We are blessed with a lot of water. Not every state gets the kind of rainfall that we have. That is really a blessing, not a curse. But we'll keep fighting so that we are fairly treated and we can continue to live in our communities that that we love.
Let's pivot to the Judiciary Committee hearing of last week. You testified relative to these post-conviction relief cases coming out of the Orleans Parish District Attorney's Office. There was some pretty compelling evidence that was provided that, I don't know, seems to be on shaky legal ground from my perspective as to whether or not the authority actually is there to involve oneself in this type of action. Your thoughts?
Well, you know, there's a lot of post-conviction requests for relief that run through our courts. Most of them are frivolous, or they're raising claims that have already been adjudicated by a prior court. These numbers in Orleans Parish are very disproportionate to what you see across the rest of our state. And that's why I've decided I'm taking a close look at 40 of those cases, basically dating back to January when I took office. I'm working very well with Jason on some other things like juvenile justice and the ankle monitoring. We're working very well together on that. Troop NOLA prosecutions working very well together on that. On this, I'm looking to see exactly what's happening, and I've already seen that I have a difference of opinion on the relief that was granted in a number of these cases. And what I've said all along is that you don't get post-conviction relief simply because the DA or somebody working for the DA has a difference of opinion in legal policy. And so that's something you take to the legislature. That's not something you take to the courts and say, hey, we don't agree with what the law is, so we're gonna let this person out of prison. That's not how it works, and that shouldn't be how the DA is applying post-conviction relief.
And the U.S. Supreme Court actually said that in the Reddick case, right? That, like, these Ramos cases were not retroactive, and if you wanted to do something different, your remedy was to actually go to the state legislature, correct?
That's right, and that's a good example of cases where I think that relief is being granted based on a difference of opinion about criminal justice policy. They were not able to get that relief through the legislature. They can continue to try, but that is, in fact, a policy decision for the legislature if that relief has been foreclosed by the United States Supreme Court and the Louisiana Supreme Court. And so no district attorney should be just going in and unilaterally granting that relief. I don't think that is within the discretion of a DA.
Right. Well, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Please keep up the great work relative to the flood insurance. God knows we need it. We need the relief for sure. And we need to gain a better understanding of what the heck's going on. Because, you know, what happens with FEMA flood risk 3.0? I mean, you know, it's not like this one's going to be etched in stone forever, right?
Well, it's always kind of a moving target. Let me say this before we sign off. We do have a storm facing us. If people see problems with price gouging, there will be resources on our website. That's www.aglizmerle.com and on the Get a Game Plan app.
Awesome. Thank you so much for the great work you do, and stay safe.
Thank you, Newell. Have a great day and stay safe.
All righty, we'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back, folks. Preparations are being had right now, and there's nothing more important than a grocery store. And Donnie Rouse from Rouse's Stores joins us. Donnie, welcome to the show.
Hey, good afternoon. Thanks for having me.
Donnie, I know this is a busy time for you guys. What will your hours of operation be in advance of this storm?
So as of right now, today we'll be open normal hours across all of our stores. And later this afternoon, we'll be making decisions on tomorrow. I do expect all our stores to be open for some time tomorrow. It may only 2 hours, could be 6 hours, could be 8 hours. So we're just going to be watching the track and making sure that we're able to service our customers and still get our employees home safely in time without having to be on the road in the weather. We'll be making some announcements on our social media.
Yeah, you guys have stores not only down to Bayou, but you carry it all the way up to the Baton Rouge, greater Baton Rouge area, right?
Yeah, we're at Baton Rouge, Zachary, Hammond as well. Correct. So
obviously,
we're really
depending on the track of
the city.
Yeah, so depending on the track of the storm, the timing may be different for different stores in different regions.
Absolutely. Our stores in South Lafourche and Morgan City are going to close before our stores would be, in the North Shore or in Baton Rouge.
Any advice as to, some folks that have dietary restrictions and they got to make sure that they've got this available to them?
All our stores have product in them or product en route to the stores. We should be in really good shape Thursday morning when we reopen, and we're constantly getting product. I know we have 50 truckloads of water hitting our stores today. We have full generators on all of our stores, so don't expect to lose any power or lose any product in our stores. So as soon as customers can get back on the road later this week, we'll be ready to service them.
Donnie, you've been in the business a long time. That's got to be one of the major changes that you've seen, is that this full generator backup of stores, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a big initiative of ours over the years. As we install the full store generators, and we have that on every store. It helps us get back open quicker without having to clean out any freezers or refrigerators, and really so customers can get back to some normalcy right after the storm with their normal grocery shopping.
Absolutely. Final thoughts?
Everyone stay safe. You can count on Rouse's for having the product. Our team members are excited to service the customers and keep everyone happy.
Well, thank you so much for all that you do. You guys are great corporate partners in so many different communities across the state of Louisiana, and we truly appreciate it. But never more than when y'all are open in advance of a storm and in the immediate aftermath. So stay safe, my friend.
You as much.
That's Donnie Rouse from Rouse Food Stores. Thank you so much. We're going to go to Shannon Martin over at Bankrate. She's an analyst there. A study comes out about 1 in 4 homeowners who feel unprepared financially for an extreme weather event. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I don't know about you, but I was reading through this. I was surprised about just how unprepared folks are. Your thoughts?
I was actually surprised as well. Bankrate Extreme Weather Survey was kind of a pulse check on American homeowners that were entering right as Hurricane season was about to kick off. And 26% said they felt financially unprepared for the potential costs associated with extreme weather. And when we look at our regional data, we found that 29% of southern homeowners are saying that they feel unprepared.
Yeah, and we have this. We're facing these challenges all the time. You just probably heard a little bit of Donnie Rouse's interview. Mm-hmm. He's one of the larger grocery store chain operators in Louisiana, and obviously you have a storm coming. It's looming out there in the Gulf, and you got to go get 3 to 5 days worth of provisions. And what this study says is that they might not be able to do so. And it's kind of scary because one thing about a storm, if you don't control it, it ain't going to happen. If you're relying on other people to do it for you, it's the government does not respond very quickly.
That's right. And I'm actually originally from Metairie, Louisiana. My dad and my brother still live there. They're going through the hurricane prep right now as we speak. So I'm definitely familiar with that. I think my biggest advice to people is that they need to think about the impact of extreme weather year round. It's not always the best time to buy a portable generator or a portable air conditioner in the middle of hurricane season. Maybe wait when the prices are a little bit lower during winter. And that's a good way to save money.
And that would hold true with almost every product, right? I mean, buy it at the right time, at the right price moving forward, and you're able to minimize your financial exposure for so doing. And the more difficult thing about this is that you're buying things in the hope that you're never going to use it, which is a strange kind of happenstance as well, right?
It is, and that's really what it's like for auto and home insurance. You have to have it. You don't want to pay for it, and you hope you never have to use it. And one thing that highlighted the survey highlighted is when we look at the concern that people had when it came to paying their deductible and going to debt in terms of their home deductible. 15% of American homeowners were saying that they wouldn't be able to pay their deductible without incurring debt. And then Southern homeowners, that jumps up to 20%. So you can see what a big difference that is.
Yeah. What do you attribute that to? I mean, I know that we've been in difficult financial times here for a while, products costing more, people having to take on more risk. Is it that they don't realize or recognize that the insurance company is not going to spend a dollar until you exhaust your, you know, your side of the balance sheet before moving forward?
I think a lot of it has to do just with kind of the public in general not truly understanding how the South is a little bit different than the rest of the country. So like in the Midwest, where homeowners feel the most confident about their affordability, they're paying just their home insurance, and that pays for almost everything, right? But in the South, you have your home insurance policy, then you might have a percentage-based wind or hail deductible, then you have your flood insurance and that deductible. So just in the South, you might have to pay thousands upon thousands of dollars towards your deductible versus someone maybe in the Midwest who only has to come up with $500 or $1,000.
Yeah, there are definitely huge differences. And you add to that the burden that we have in this state. We have some of the highest auto insurance rates in the country as well.
Right. The auto insurance is high. For example, for home insurance, the national average for $300,000 in dwelling coverage is around $2,200. But in Louisiana, it's closer to $4,200. So people in Louisiana are paying about $2,000 more for just their standard homeowners policy. And that doesn't account for people who may have to purchase wind coverage separately or for the flood insurance policy.
Yeah. Do you see... do you see this changing at all? Is there any relief?
That's the million-dollar question, right? Florida has made a lot of changes in their insurance law, and it looks like they're starting to be able to turn the boat a little bit in the right direction there, but it's still a little too soon to tell. I actually went to the Louisiana Department of Insurance convention that took place in August, and what I can let everyone know is that from the governor to the commissioner on down, everyone is trying to work the problem, trying to get more money into the state, trying to get the cost of home insurance lower. But it's just there's a lot of debate on the best way to do that, what's really going to work.
You know, I keep hearing about Florida and what they've done. I've actually talked to homeowners there, and their response was kind of like, yeah, we've heard about all of this, but it really... our premiums are not going down. In fact, they continue to see increases, not as large, but increases nonetheless.
Right. With home insurance and with auto insurance, the rates generally don't tend to go down dramatically. Florida is seeing some slight premium changes right now. I think they passed a law where some of the tax is being passed down to homeowners, and it was 1.75%. And so that adds up to maybe $300 off of your insurance policy. About 10 carriers in the state have not taken any rate increases. 9 states have taken percentage or 2 decreases in Florida. So those things are important, and they add up. But these laws that they changed, it was just a couple years ago. It takes a long time to see if these new companies are solvent. Can they withstand a catastrophic loss? So I think we have a lot of time to kind of wait this out to see what really happens.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to be something that we're going to see a significant change in the next year or the next 2 years for certain. It may be 3 years before we see any movement at all. And it's going to be interesting to see how many folks can hold on in that period of time, because I think some of y'all's other reporting has indicated that a number of people are having to put their homes up for sale because they just can't afford all of these other costs.
Right. The costs are really mounting on people, and a lot of homeowners are stuck between a rock and a hard place. Many people who aren't, you know, living in these high-risk areas, they forget that your mortgage company requires you to have home insurance. If you lapse on your home insurance, the mortgage company puts on their own insurance, and then that makes you possibly unable to pay your mortgage, and foreclosure is right around the corner. So there are homeowners that are taking a look at their long-term personal finances and are saying, you know, I don't know if I'm working my whole life for this moment. It's time to sell and move somewhere where it's a little bit safer. 7% of Americans in the past 5 years have decided to move to places that have a lower risk for extreme weather.
Yeah, for sure. It's going to be interesting to see how this ultimately plays out. Shannon Martin with Bankrate, an analyst there. Thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your time and your insight.
Thank you for having me, and I hope everyone stays safe.
Thank you. We will be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Stay with us. Folks, we do know that the Metropolitan Crime Commission Law Enforcement's awards luncheon on Thursday has been canceled. The new date is to be determined. Also, the Youth Empowerment Project will close its adult education classes at their locations in Mid-City, Algiers, and New Orleans East today at 2 p.m. They will remain closed through Thursday, September 12th. The Youth Empowerment Project on-site after-school program, YEP Enriches, monitoring services as well, and the job training in Central City, New Orleans East, and St. Charles Parish are canceled beginning today at 2 p.m. through Thursday at September 12th. YEP Bike Works and YEP Thriftworks stores in Central City will be closed during the same time, and they anticipate resuming normal programming and operations on Friday, September 13th. We are joined by Ian Ozan to get the latest. Francine, what is going on now?
Well, what we know, Newell, is that the track has shifted farther east with landfall right between Franklin and Morgan City along the St. Mary Parish coast. After that, it's going to head northeastward and just barely skirt downtown New Orleans, or downtown Baton Rouge, rather. In fact, the eye of the storm is going to pass just east of downtown Baton Rouge. We know that Grand Isle is under a mandatory evacuation. Areas outside the levee systems in Jefferson and Plaquemines parishes are under mandatory evacuation orders. Terrebonne Parish, coastal area zone 1, under mandatory evacuation. Lafourche Parish, if you're south of the Lee Ontario Locks, mandatory evacuations there as well. The big question, Newell, is will this storm continue to track eastward? We'll find out come the 4 o'clock advisory. Also at 4 o'clock, we're expecting Francine to become a hurricane, or to have been upgraded to a hurricane by that point. The million-dollar question is, when will we see tropical storm force winds here in New Orleans? Around 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, according to the National Hurricane Center. The coastal areas of Louisiana will start to see tropical storm force winds as early as 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. A couple to 3 hours after that, we should see those tropical storm force winds here in New Orleans. But the long story short is, even though the track doesn't take the eye directly to New Orleans, still must be vigilant. Can't let our guard down with this, because we still have a long way to go before it gets here.
Ian, they were saying earlier, you know, how we always have the concern of the northeast quadrant of the storm as that leading edge, having some of the most powerful winds and things of that nature, that they felt a little differently about this storm. Do they know whether or not that information has matured any or changed?
I don't think it's changed all that much, and part of the reason is this storm, even though we've seen it strengthen and become a little bit more defined this morning, it's still struggling to come together. On top of that, there's some dry air that's coming in from Texas that's going to enter the Gulf of Mexico, that's going to interact with the storm before it makes landfall, and that could keep it from developing beyond a moderate Category 1 storm. And because of that dry air, once the storm reaches land, it's going to break down quickly. So even though we're going to be in that upper right-hand quadrant, that northeast quadrant, we may dodge a bullet on this one, thanks in part to Mother Nature throwing us a bone.
This one's interesting, right? I mean, there's a lot of different things going on coming at that storm from multiple directions.
Yeah, you've got a ridge of low pressure, or a central pressure ridge, rather, plus that dry air. And that's one of the reasons why this storm has been so tricky to figure out, is because you already have a storm that's disorganized and trying its darndest to get together. Then you have those two other elements that are coming in or going to interact with it. And that's one of the reasons why the National Hurricane Center has had trouble trying to forecast not only the track, but also forecasting the intensity of the storm at landfall, because there's so many variables at play right now that they're hedging their bets. They don't want to alarm people by going with the Category 3 prediction, which we've seen some independent forecasters go with. But at the same time, they don't want to downplay it and tell everybody, okay, it's going to be all right, it's not going to be terrible, because anytime you're dealing with a tropical storm or a hurricane, you always have the risk of property damage or lives being at risk.
And what's been a little weird, too, is it's almost as if all the rainfall is just right there off the shore of Louisiana, because I've not had hardly any rain today at all.
Yeah, and we've seen some drizzles here and there in the city of New Orleans and other parts of the New Orleans metro area. There's some clouds and showers associated with the system. Again, the disorganized nature of it. You have the center of circulation and the storm itself off the Mexico coast. Then you have clouds and storms associated with it just off our coast. It's causing some precipitation in the cloud cover that we have right now. So it's a weird system in the fact that we're already seeing some effects in terms of cloud cover and drizzle, but we'll get the main event tomorrow morning once it gets closer to land.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the update, Ian Ozan from our news desk. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Newell.
All right, folks, that's the latest on the storm. We'll be wrapping up here and checking in with Scoot. Obviously, we will continue to have coverage on Tropical Storm Francine, and everyone believes that it'll soon become Hurricane Francine. Tonight, just as a reminder, at 8 o'clock, if you're out doing your chores and hustling things together, we will be airing the presidential debate at 8 p.m. this evening right here on WWL. You can catch it there. And obviously, we also will be breaking in with the latest weather news throughout the evening to keep you up to date on that as well. And if you'd like to win tickets to the next Saints game when the Black and Gold take on the Philadelphia Eagles in the Caesars Superdome, you can score two premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. We're talking open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champion Square. Winning is easy. You get to go to WWL.com/contest and enter for your chance to win the Saints-Eagles tickets. From Dudley DeBosia, the official injury lawyers of the Saints, and Saints Radio, WWL. All right, we'll be right back, folks. After the break, we'll check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. You know, it's times like these where you gain a better understanding of the importance of AM radio. There's been a move afoot in this country to eliminate AM radio. It's got some of the most powerful radio signals anywhere. This particular station reaches a multitude of states daily and in the evenings as well, and we have served as the lifeline for our listening audience on so many different fronts, through so many different storms. Once the power goes out, there's a lot of challenges for folks, and they resort to a battery-operated radio to gain a better understanding of what is happening and why. And since I've been on air, it'll coming up on my 7th anniversary, and just on September, actually tomorrow, I forgot about that. Tomorrow will be 7 years for me here at WWL. And just in that short period of time, I've seen it. I've experienced it. I can recall conversations with folks that, were so thankful that they had a lifeline out there and were able to get people help. And I know Scoot's done that time after time after time as well, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Yeah, I guess the best part of that is I'm still here, so we do find a way to make it make it through all of this. So yeah, we'll talk about the storm. We'll give you the latest. Also, we'll have a little bit of a conversation about the debate tonight. I can't imagine many people are going to be watching it, but otherwise, if this were not going on, I think it would be quite entertaining. So for those who are going to watch the debate, we'll talk a little bit about that, but mostly we'll focus on Francine.
All righty, Scoot's coming your way, folks. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Stay safe, stay patient. We'll talk in the morning. Folks, we do know that the Metropolitan Crime Commission Law Enforcement's awards luncheon on Thursday has been canceled. The new date is to be determined. Also, the Youth Empowerment Project will close its adult education classes at their locations in Mid-City, Algiers, and New Orleans East today at 2 p.m. They will remain closed through Thursday, September 12th. The Youth Empowerment Project on-site after-school program, YEP Enriches, monitoring services as well, and the job training in Central City, New Orleans East, and St. Charles Parish are canceled beginning today at 2 p.m. through Thursday at September 12th. YEP Bike Works and YEP Thrift Works stores in Central City will be closed during the same time, and they anticipate resuming normal programming and operations on Friday, September 13th. We are joined by Ian Ozan to get the latest, Francine. What is going on now?
Well, what we know, Newell, is that the track has shifted farther east with landfall right between Franklin and Morgan City along the St. Mary Parish coast. After that, it's going to head northeastward and just barely skirt downtown New Orleans, or downtown Baton Rouge, rather. In fact, the eye of the storm is going to pass just east of downtown Baton Rouge. We know that Grand Isle is under a mandatory evacuation. Areas outside the levee systems in Jefferson and Plaquemines Parishes are under mandatory evacuation orders. Terrebonne Parish, coastal area zone 1, under mandatory evacuation. Lafourche Parish, if you're south of the Lee Ontario Locks, mandatory evacuations there as well. The big question, Ewell, is will this storm continue to track eastward? We'll find out come the 4 o'clock advisory. Also at 4 o'clock, we're expecting Francine to become a hurricane, or to have been upgraded to a hurricane by that point. The million-dollar question is, when will we see tropical storm force winds here in New Orleans? Around 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, according to the National Hurricane Center. The coastal areas of Louisiana will start to see tropical storm force winds as early as 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. A couple to 3 hours after that, we should see those tropical storm force winds here in New Orleans. But the long story short is, even though the track doesn't take the eye directly to New Orleans, still must be vigilant. Can't let our guard down with this, because we still have a long way to go before it gets here.
Ian, they were saying earlier, you know, how we always have the concern of the northeast quadrant of the storm as that leading edge, having some of the most powerful winds and things of that nature, that they felt a little differently about this storm. Do they know whether or not that information has matured any or changed?
I don't think it's changed all that much, and part of the reason is this storm, even though we've seen it strengthen and become a little bit more defined this morning, it's still struggling to come together. On top of that, there's some dry air that's coming in from Texas that's going to enter the Gulf of Mexico, that's going to interact with the storm before it makes landfall, and that could keep it from developing beyond a moderate Category 1 storm. And because of that dry air, once the storm reaches land, it's going to break down quickly. So even though we're going to be in that upper right-hand quadrant, that northeast quadrant, we may dodge a bullet on this one, thanks in part to Mother Nature throwing us a bone.
This one's interesting, right? I mean, there's a lot of different things going on coming at that storm from multiple directions.
Yeah, you've got a ridge of low pressure, or a central pressure ridge, rather, plus that dry air. And that's one of the reasons why this storm has been so tricky to figure out, is because you already have a storm that's disorganized and trying its darndest to get together. Then you have those two other elements that are coming in, are going to interact with it. And that's one of the reasons why the National Hurricane Center has had trouble trying to forecast not only the track, but also forecasting the intensity of the storm at landfall, because there's so many variables at play right now that they're hedging their bets. They don't want to alarm people by going with a Category 3 prediction, which we've seen some independent forecasters go with. But at the same time, they don't want to downplay it and tell everybody, okay, it's going to be all right, it's not going to be terrible, because anytime you're dealing with a tropical storm or a hurricane, you always have the risk of property damage or lives being at risk.
And what's been a little weird, too, is it's almost as if all the rainfall is just right there off the shore of Louisiana, because I've not had hardly any rain today at all.
Yeah, and we've seen some drizzles here and there in the city of New Orleans and other parts of the New Orleans metro area. There's some clouds and showers associated with the system. Again, the disorganized nature of it. You have the center of circulation and the storm itself off the Mexico coast, then you have clouds and storms associated with it just off our coast that's causing some precipitation in the cloud cover that we have right now. So it's a weird system, in the fact that we're already seeing some effects in in terms of cloud cover and drizzle, but we'll get the main event tomorrow morning once it gets closer to land.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the update, Ian Ozan, from our news desk. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Newell.
All right, folks, that's the latest on the storm. We'll be wrapping up here and checking in with Scoot. Obviously, we will continue to have coverage on Tropical Storm Francine, and everyone believes that it'll soon become Hurricane Francine. Tonight, just as a reminder, at 8 o'clock, if you're out doing your chores and hustling things together, we will be airing the presidential debate at 8 p.m. this evening right here on WWL. You can catch it there. And obviously, we also will be breaking in with the latest weather news throughout the evening to keep you up to date on that as well. And if you'd like to win tickets to the next Saints game when the Black and Gold take on the Philadelphia Eagles in the Caesars Superdome, you can score two premium tickets to the game plus a pair of VIP tailgate passes from Bullseye Event Group. We're talking open bar, premium liquor, all-you-can-eat buffet from celebrity chef Aaron May, all overlooking Champions Square. Winning is easy. You get to go to WWL.com/contest and enter for your chance to win the Saints-Eagles tickets. From Dudley DeBosia, the official injury lawyers of the Saints, and Saints Radio, WWL. All right, we'll be right back, folks. After the break, we'll check in with Scoot when we return. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. You know, it's times like these where you gain a better understanding of the importance of AM radio. There's been a move afoot in this country to eliminate AM radio. It's got some of the most powerful radio signals anywhere. This particular station reaches a multitude of states daily and in the evenings as well, and we have served as the lifeline for our listening audience on so many different fronts through so many different storms. Once the power goes out, there's a lot of challenges for folks, and they resort to a battery-operated radio to gain a better understanding of what is happening and why. And since I've been on air, it'll coming up on my 7th anniversary, and just on September, actually tomorrow, I forgot about that. Tomorrow will be 7 years for me here at WWL. And just in that short period of time, I've seen it. I've experienced it. I can recall conversations with folks that, were so thankful that they had a lifeline out there and were able to get people help. And I know Scoot's done that time after time after time as well, and he joins us. What do we have coming up, Scoot?
Yeah, I guess the best part of that is I'm still here, so we do find a way to make it make it through all of this. So yeah, we'll talk about the storm. We'll give you the latest. Also, we'll have a little bit of a conversation about the debate tonight. I can't imagine many people are going to be watching it, but otherwise, if this were not going on, I think it would be quite entertaining. So for those who are going to watch the debate, we'll talk a little bit about that, but mostly we'll focus on Francine.
All righty, Scoot's coming your way, folks. Stay tuned. Hope you enjoyed today's show. Stay safe. Stay patient. We'll talk in the morning.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.